Welcome to Portman Show, episode number 425. We're coming at you live right now via Skype. Andrew and Alex are in Savannah, Georgia, and Puke is in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. This is Portman Show. I said that already. Yes. Portman Show, like I said during the intro, this is now the fourth man show time that we've said, the episode 425. I'm here in studio in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and on Skype from probably hot and sweaty Savannah, Georgia, is Alex and Andrew in separate rooms of an Airbnb. Are you guys on Tybee Island or somewhere else in the city?
We are in Southside.
Yeah, some sort of suburb.
Have you guys seen Hunter Army Airfield yet?
No, why would I do that?
I know it's one of the major sites of Savannah, Georgia. I mean, fuck all the like historical old Spanish moss cemeteries and buildings, and go see where I used to spend my life when I started my Army career in Hunter Army Airfield. I actually went on Skype when you guys said you were going to Savannah, and I was like, oh yeah, I forget what the city looked like. I'm sorry, by Skype I meant Google Maps. I went to Google Maps, and then you said, Skype's not good. This is terrible. So anyway, I was looking around and I was like, oh yeah, there's old Hunter Army Airfield. And it's completely changed because, for fuck's sake, it's been 20 years or almost 20 years. I mean, technically like 17, 18 years. It's been a child's life since I've been in Savannah, Georgia. And yeah, looked pretty crazy. So how are you guys doing down there? And why the fuck are you down there?
Alex, you start.
How am I doing down here? I'm doing pretty good, except for not being able to work as much as I want to because of the distractions of everyone. And, yeah, I think when it comes like work, Alex is like every day puke that he just doesn't want to be around people. He needs people to be non-existent.
That's right.
They're all the worst. They're distracting. They say stupid things that are funny, but you don't want to be funny right now because you're trying to get things done. But hey, that's when you go on trips, you know that's going to happen. So because I am a person who practices acceptance, I say that is okay. It's worth the trade because it's sunny, it's warm, it's muggy, which is fine with me because I don't mind feeling warm and moist while I'm sitting out on the porch doing work. I prefer that, in fact.
Yeah, and it's probably, as I recall, always moist.
It's been delightful. Each day it just gets warmer and warmer and sunnier and sunnier.
Really?
But, yeah, after the show last week on Sunday, Alex was talking about going down to Savannah. And then I started thinking about it. And I've been trying to make an excuse to go somewhere within driving distance. And basically, 36 hours later, I was on my way to Savannah. So
yeah,
I went and rented a car. I wanted a convertible. It was going to be warm and sunny because it's been fucking cold as shit in Pittsburgh for a couple weeks. So the idea of warm and sunny sounded amazing. And I rented a Mustang convertible. And holy shit, it's so much better than that Camaro I had a couple months ago when Amy and I went down to Tennessee and North Carolina. So
yeah.
Mustang, way to fucking awesome car. And there's plenty of problems with it, but it for a rental car, it's awesome. And I left early in the morning on Tuesday morning, and yeah, I drove down into Horse Vagina, and eventually I hopped off the highway and went through the mountains and immediately hit a snowstorm.
Oh, nice.
Like fucking snow-covered roads, slippery roads, snowy, dangerous, nightmare roads. But throughout the day, it just got sunnier and warmer and beautiful, and I made it down to Savannah on Tuesday, and haven't had a whole lot of plans, but doing some work, but mostly just relaxing, hanging out. Got to go to the beach. I got sunburn in stupid places, like, you know, 3 square inches on the backs of my knees.
Okay. That's a bad place to get a sunburn.
Yeah. But no, it's been fantastic. Everything's open down here. You have no idea how nice it is to just have, like, to have somebody wait on you at a restaurant. It's fucking amazing.
To have somebody wait on you at a restaurant. Yeah.
Yeah.
One time without a mask and another time with a mask.
Oh, yeah.
When she first came out, she greeted us and she was maskless. And it's like, cool, this is normal. And then she, like, took her drink orders and came back with a mask on. I was like, what, did somebody yell at you? She's like, no, it's just really hot out here. So, like, sometimes we wear them and sometimes we don't. And I was like, yeah, you might as well just not wear them, because with what you're doing right now, it doesn't, it's like literally doing nothing.
Yeah. Which is essentially what it seems like the news has proven out, is that it's doing basically nothing. The only people that are getting really affected are the, like, already pre-existing and the olds, the really olds. So, yeah, I don't know what the fuck. Like, I mean, they made us start wearing them at work, and for a month before that, we were still working and nobody was requiring us to wear masks, and nobody got sick, and so here we are. Now we're wearing masks and still nobody's getting sick. So it's just an obnoxious annoyance. And apparently it's what the government's going to make us do from now until we all die.
I don't know, man. You gave me that, so Puke ordered these, like, babushka mask things.
It's called a neck gaiter.
Yes.
Yeah. Sure. So you asked if I wanted one, and at first I'm like, no, I don't want more clutter. But then I thought, fuck. But I do have to walk into these stores where I got to wear these masks, and that thing looks easier to deal with than the little stringy cloth masks. So I kept forgetting about it until I finally left for Savannah. So I put it in the car with me, and it was on the passenger seat. And I stopped pretty much in every state, because I took my time getting down here, taking detours, mountain drives. Yeah. And when I stopped in West Virginia, I put the mask thing over my neck, and I walked into the store, pulled it up. And I walked in, looked around, nobody had a mask on. I went, oh, thank God, and I pulled it off. Then the next state, I did the same thing. And I went, oh, thank God, and I pulled it off. In every single state. Apparently, you don't have to wear a mask anywhere but Pennsylvania. Wow. That seems to be the rule.
What's that? That seems to be the rule? Or just everyone? Yeah. People just don't give a shit, obviously.
I don't know. Down here, just living life for the last few days, you would think there's no fucking virus anywhere, and no one knows what the hell you're talking about if you bring up coronavirus.
They don't even know what it is. Jesus, that is a bad back. Say that again. Sorry. But
it's been fantastic. Went to the beach. Oh, and your babushka thing, it has not served the purpose of a mask in any way, shape, or form. Uh-huh. It has only served the purpose of a babushka to put on the women's hair when they're in the back of the convertible.
Your women's hair or other women's?
The women. No, I don't have women's hair.
Yeah.
The women that are down here with us. But here's the cool thing. I realized driving this convertible Mustang around, I have completely stepped into the role of, like, the 90s movie villain.
Okay. Do you have a shawl? No, not a shawl. What? The sweater wrapped around your neck.
The sweater wrapped around the shoulders.
Yeah.
No, all you do is you just need to be the two guys in the front of the convertible Mustang and then two females in the back seat of the Mustang.
Oh, okay.
And drive around dangerously.
Yeah. And then you pull up at some point next to some kids you don't like, and you go, oh, faggot. And you, like, throw something at them and then drive away. Or maybe you'd say something more witty than that.
Speaking of the bad guy in the Mustang, Puke, you and I have been watching some fantastic movies lately.
Yeah. Such as?
Because I learned that all movies before 9/11 were so much happier. Every movie since 9/11 is trying to put a message out there or be serious in some way. And that's not fun. Movies should just be fun. I don't want to have to think about them. I don't want to have to analyze them. It's nice to just sit back and watch some mindless entertainment. So, Pugh, yeah. You and I watched Bedazzled, which is a really stupid movie, but it's nothing but fun the whole time. We also just watched Bubble Boy, which was fantastic. And the bad guy in that movie had a convertible Mustang.
Did he? I don't remember that he had a convertible Mustang. But
I mean, if Andrew says there's a convertible Mustang in a movie, it's a 99.999 to the 10th percent chance that there was a convertible Mustang.
It's probably just movie. A 90s percent chance. yeah, so
yeah.
What have you been doing other than just driving around in a convertible?
It's been great. I've been getting tan down in Savannah. I'm taking a carvation.
Oh, is that what you call
the
it?
New thing I'm doing. Or no, vacartion. Vacartion. I'm doing
carcation?
No, I like vacartion. Because when you type it, people just think you're retarded.
Yeah, because you texted that to me the other day, and I was like, must be a... I just thought it was a mistake.
Retarded. I didn't think I meant it.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Not a mistake. It was intentional.
Okay.
So...
Sure. Keep telling yourself that.
Do from now on.
Just make yourself look retarded? Yeah.
Went to walk around cemeteries and monuments, look at old houses. I learned what Spanish moss is.
Yeah.
Went on a ghost tour.
I've done that.
Helped.
5 minutes of a ghost tour.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was for 5 minutes.
That's as long as...
I nominated myself to go help somebody get back to the house without dying.
Say that again. I'm sorry I interrupted you, and Skype is a piece of shit. Apologize to everybody listening. Go.
So I was on the ghost tour for 5 minutes, but then I realized I don't think I want to be on a ghost tour. So I nominated myself to accompany somebody going back to the house who got a little sick. And it's a good thing I did, because I don't know that that she would have made it back on her own. But I got to hold a puke bucket.
Nice. What if it was actually a ghost that possessed her? And that's why she had to leave the ghost tour.
What I didn't know, though, was that puke bucket was actually some sort of cooking device that Alex likes.
Well, it could be washed, I guess.
Alex.
Yeah, it's in the dishwasher now, so it should be good. But when we got back, I heard there was a puke bucket. And then I was informed by someone else that they took the puke bucket, washed it out, and put it in the sink. And it's like, okay, cool. Details I didn't think I needed to know. Until I wake up the next morning and I look in the sink, and the only dish in the sink, which should be the puke bucket, is my my Instapot bucket thing that you put food in and you cook it for a long time. So things seep into it because you're going to cook them for a long time, and that's how chemistry works. And so, yeah, now I'm seething. Seething is the word, because it's just a tension underneath my skin in my heart, telling me that everything about this situation is wrong and it's someone else's fault. But there's also this part of me that's like, hey, part of why I came down here was like, I usually live in apartments by myself, and this is some practice to just be around other people and better understand and appreciate what compromise means.
Yeah,
so
tough.
I'm seething because I know I can't just go off about this. Like, ultimately, come on. This is a dumb thing. Somebody needed a puke bucket. This was in hand. It's ultimately going to be fine. So I can't be a dick about it, but I want to be.
What's it? What's the material?
It's like stainless steel.
Oh, you'll be fine.
Probably.
I mean, it's not like a sponge. It's not really going to soak up that much vomit. So.
Well, to be fair, here's the lesson. Don't have such a nice puke bucket laying around.
No, it was... It was within range. It was too close.
Yeah. Don't keep anything bucket-shaped around drunk people.
It was an kitchen. When you need a puke bucket, it's not like you have all the time in the world to, you know, shop around for a puke bucket. You got to grab the most immediate puke bucket. So I ran into the kitchen. I'm like, okay, what's ideal here? A little, like, waste basket would be ideal. But I don't see one of those. And I'm in this unfamiliar kitchen. I don't know where anything is. So I just, like... saw something on the counter and I grabbed it. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know it was yours. I could have been the Airbnbs. No idea.
Well, that's unfortunate. Have you seen a palmetto bug yet, Andrew?
No, thankfully.
You probably know what those are from living in Florida, though, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, they're just like basically giant cockroaches. Those are terrible. Are the gnats, little like sand gnats out annoying everybody yet?
No, I don't think so.
That's one of the things I remember when I was stationed down there, is that there's just like clouds of gnats in the morning when it's 100% humidity and 80 degrees already at like 5 a.m. And gnats just fucking swarm everywhere. That's terrible.
I don't know. I don't think I got to worry about that. I'm leaving tomorrow morning. So,
well, you're probably going to collect some on your car then. But it's a rental, so yeah. Lucky you.
I'm going to take a long, long drive back, avoiding highways. I'm going to turn an 11-hour drive into like a 19-hour drive.
Yeah.
And I'm going to spend a night somewhere in a mountain somewhere in the Appalachian mountain range tomorrow night. I don't know where yet. Depends how far I make it.
You're just going to...
But I'm going to drive during the daytime, do work when it's dark, and then leave Sunday morning from wherever I'm at like 6 a.m. and make it back to Pittsburgh. And, Pittsburgh's open back up today. What's that like?
Huh? Is it? I don't know. I have no idea.
Oh, right. You don't totally.
No, I go to work. And today I did some trimming. I changed the tires on my car, and I waited for a guy to show up to fix my garage door who didn't show up in time, so I had to reschedule. So I didn't know, and because I haven't been paying attention to the news, because I had to stop because it was terrible, I was not aware that allegedly we've opened back up. Now, I think when you say open back up, you mean like here in Pennsylvania, they're calling it like code yellow or some fucking horse shit. Because we were in the red, and now we're in yellow, and we're not, I don't think we're green yet. Do you know what color of life we're in, Andrew?
I know in Savannah, it's probably what green is like in Pennsylvania. But yeah. I know in Pittsburgh, it's supposed to be yellow, which means nothing.
Yeah, I think it really doesn't change a whole lot because everybody was basically living their lives like they were in yellow zones, other than restaurants, I guess. Like restaurants, I think when I read about this yellow shit, restaurants are still basically shut down except for, you know, carry out, and there's no sporting events or something still. But for me, I wouldn't notice. Maybe did it happen yesterday? Because yesterday when I left work, there was a lot of traffic and I was surprised. But it was I thought it was just because of the nice weather. But today is probably going to be a fucking like shit show on the roads if the city's back open or whatever, which is a very strange term when you say it, because it's like 70 degrees outside today. It's very nice and sunny and warm.
I think the only real change is like now if you want to buy a pair of shoes, you can go get a pair of shoes.
Oh, I wonder if I can go to IKEA now. I have no reason to go maybe. To IKEA.
I think if I remember correctly, when I was looking at code yellow, it basically meant nothing to us except that retail stores are now allowed to be open for curbside pickup.
Oh, but not open, like you can't go inside, huh?
I'm pretty sure you're not allowed to now.
Well, whatever. I don't know. This shit's getting ridiculous, and I don't know. I sure hope that a lot of people get voted out of office, even though it's not like it would change. It's not like different politicians would have done anything differently. They're all fucking pieces of shit that are just desperately trying to save face to get reelected, you know, because they're like, they jumped on the bandwagon to do all these shutdowns and house arrests, and then now they can't undo them because the media is going to be like, oh, they just want to kill people and get haircuts. So obviously no politicians are, you know, going to be the first, like, lemming. Other than that lady in South Dakota, I think the governor of South Dakota was the only politician that didn't do this nonsense. So
I don't know. Everything's great. I went to a car dealership today.
Wow, what was that like? Why'd you do that? Just because you could?
Yes, exactly.
Nice.
No, one of the people here with us, she wanted to go look at a Ford Ranger. Yeah. So we went to the Ford dealership and looked at this Ranger. And right from the word Ranger, I started trying to talk her out of buying this Ranger. Okay, and at first, I tried talking her out of buying a pickup truck. But then, after determining that, no, she wants a pickup truck based on her other vehicles, I then just said Honda Ridgeline. And I kept saying that over and over and over because nobody needs as much truck as they buy, almost ever.
Yeah.
But anyway, this Ranger was advertised at $32,000 online. We get there, and it turns out it was the dealer loaner vehicle with 3,000 miles on it. And in my mind, I go, oh, that means it'll be discounted because it's used.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's a dealer-maintained vehicle that has to be sold as a used vehicle. But when the numbers got put together, The numbers were like $37,000.
Holy
and I
fuck.
Just kept thinking to myself, that is, there's not enough car going on here for $37,000. And I'm sitting there and she's interacting with the saleswoman and I'm just kind of staying quiet. And I'm like taking phone calls and futzing around on my phone. And I'm looking at Kelly Blue Book to see what these things are actually worth. And I'm unhappy with the whole situation. So the saleswoman doesn't know who the fuck I am or what I'm doing there. For all she knows, I'm the husband. For all she knows, I'm paying for this.
Okay, sure.
Right? So she's only talking to the woman who's actually interested in paying for the truck. Not me, but that's fine. But at a certain point, I start seeing these numbers. And that's when I stepped up and I said, wait a minute. Is this before her corporate discounts and this, that, and the other? And the woman completely dodged the question and started talking about fees that she can waive and knock down. But still, we're dealing with like a $37,000 tag here. So then I realized, oh, shit, if I don't step up and say something, we're going to be stuck here for the next couple of hours going through this whole process. And I don't think that anybody's walking away buying this vehicle at this price.
Yeah.
So I could not get the woman to give the actual price of the vehicle once we factor everything in. She wouldn't just get right down to it. And I just simply said, you know what? I'm going to be the bad guy here. And I'm going to tell you that this price is way too much for a used vehicle. And she goes, oh, it's not used. It's brand new. It was a loaner. And I go, I don't care who put the miles on it. It's used. Somebody put the miles on it. It doesn't matter to me who did it. But
yeah,
it's just way too much. And I got us out of there. And as soon as we said that, the woman, the saleswoman got upset. And then we just ran out of there and just booked it. And I was so happy. Because otherwise, I would still be there right now.
That's insane that they're trying to... That's a fucking shady-ass like dealership. If they're trying to sell a pickup truck with 3,000... And it, like a loaner is worse than a regular used car because a loaner, nobody gives a fuck about. People are probably beating the shit out of it. Whereas yeah, like a used
vehicle... I know
vehicle,
what I do, loaner.
Yeah. I mean, a used car, like somebody... kind of can own that for a while and might maintain it a bit, even a lease. But a car that's actually used as a loaner at a dealership is probably beat to fuck. So,
well, and the funny thing is too, the woman tried to justify the price by saying, look, I don't get paid commission, I get a salary, and if I sell you a vehicle, I just get a pat on the back.
Right.
It doesn't make me feel any better. Am I supposed to feel shitty because I do get paid on commission?
Well, I think what the idea is that, you know, people that are paid commission are going to try and, you know, hike up the price. And so these dealerships that are like, oh, we don't pay our salespeople commission, but they probably get bonuses or some shit. And obviously they're incentivized to make the most amount of money for the dealership because that's going to make their bosses happy just because they don't get
commission. Either way, and then she tried to pull out this card. She's like, oh, yeah, well, you know, with the whole situation right now, things are crazy. Like, that's a justification for the price.
That means it should be lower because they can't sell shit.
Exactly. Yeah, people aren't buying things. But then when I asked about price, she's like, oh, well, we can do 0% financing for 84 months. And I'm just thinking, 84 months?
Wow.
When you go to sell this thing in years, you're going to owe money, even if it's 0%.
Yeah, 84 months is pretty, what is that, 9 years or something?
7 years.
Is it 7 years? Oh, that's what I got on my car. But I'm going to have it paid off in like 4.5 or 5.
Yeah.
Because it, you know, you like if you're smart enough, you can have the option to do that and then have lower payments. But, you know, you have to still know that you can't just pay the minimum payment like that because that's what people do. They're like, oh, my minimum payment's only $400 a month for the next 22 years. So that's nuts. Ah, what else has happened? I don't know. Nothing.
We also did a virtual game night last night with Tom. That was fun.
Tom that we know?
Yes.
Or some other Tom. Wow.
Nope, we know.
Yeah.
Yep. So that was always fun. And it was brief because it was a last minute thing. It started kind of late. Alex went to bed.
Yeah.
But
completely skipped it. And Andrew wasn't even going to reach out too. And I was like, well, what about Tom? He's like, oh, no, Tom wouldn't do it. And guess what happened? Tom did it.
I don't know. I'm like, Tom's the kind of guy who's probably busy right now. He's probably not going to do it, but I got to reach out anyway. And sure enough, he put it together. It was great. But I don't know. I'm just trying to do my best to disconnect and enjoy as much as I can while I'm here, which is ending tomorrow. But it's been a great couple of days for a relatively inexpensive vacation. And if I can do this like once a month for the rest of my life, I'll be happy.
Yeah, I wish I actually wish I could have joined you, because like it would have been kind of neat to go back to Savannah like 20 years later. But I'm still working and trying to get this, you know, at work. They have this stupid fucking project that's going forever. And as long as I continue to make it go forever, then I'll just keep getting overtime and such. So fuck them. But I do have like 2.5 weeks of vacation saved up now that I need to take at some point. But my guess is that before the layoff occurs, which is the end of July, that we'll probably finish this. Like, once this project thing is done, and they're going to be like, okay, now your job is to start packing shit in crates. I'm going to be like, man, I'm going on vacation. Bye. I'm not going to, like, what do I give a fuck? It's not like they can do anything to me other than fire me, which I already know is going to happen. I finally got my retention bonus money. I don't know if I mentioned that on the show. And thank God the IRS took $4,000 out of it. That was awesome to see. That fucking sucks. But anyway, now I can, you know, put that money towards stuff. Like, what's a good stock to buy? I think I'll just buy Amazon stock now that they're really, really high. I have enough money to buy one stock of Amazon.
Now that you're too late.
Yeah. But, now I got new tires for my car, so that's good. And then, you know, I can pay off. Actually, I could just go ahead and pay off my car right now, but I don't know. What's the point of doing that when there's, like, all the interest rates and shit have gone to zero? And I'm not paying any interest on the car because I only have a few months left on it. So there's got to be something better I can do with a big chunk of money. Maybe just put it towards the house.
Investment.
Say that again?
Put it towards some investment.
Yeah, but I don't know what to invest in. That's the thing. Like, that feels like gambling.
No. Invest in the most boring thing you can.
Gold. I'll just buy gold bullion.
You could, and that's going to heavily outweigh any negative impact by taking on a little bit more interest charges on your car loan, because you're at the end of the car loan. It's all principal.
Yeah. I could buy a bullion cube of gold, and then I don't know. I see, like, because I bought the silver coins. I have quite a few silver. I have a few gold coins, like small ones, and a bunch of silver that I purchased, I don't know, 10 to 15 years ago, you know? And I don't know what to do with those, because they're still worth, well, they're still worth like $20 a coin in silver, but that $20, I guess, goes farther now. I forget how it works. I'm not a pneumaticist. And anyway, I don't know where I was going with that conversation.
I don't know. Do something fun.
Well, there's that, or we could use it as leverage to like educate the audience on something useful. Are you too familiar with the permanent portfolio strategy of investment?
I am not familiar with any of the words you just said.
The permanent portfolio, created and popularized by famous libertarian man Harry Brown, is a strategy for investment that, whether there is inflation, deflation, a boom cycle, or a bust cycle, your investments will continue to grow. And the way it works is you invest in 4 asset categories: bonds, cash, stock market, and gold. And so if there's a lot of inflation, then your gold's going to do really well and everything else is probably going to suck. If there's a lot of deflation, your cash is going to do really well. Everything's going to suck. If there's a boom, then your stock's going to do really well and everything else may or may not suck. And if there's a bust, then your treasuries and your gold probably are doing pretty well. Your bonds, when I say treasuries. And so the basic premise is you can just put your money 25% into each of those things. Once any one of those things is either worth only 15% of your portfolio or worth 35% of your portfolio, then you sell stuff off and you rebalance to get back to that 25%. And that way you're basically always like, when something is on sale because the price has dropped because it's sucking for some reason.
Yeah.
Yep. And you're selling stuff when it's doing really well. So that is my strategy. That's what I did with my Corona cash. My $1,200 from Trump was like, hey, I'm going to use this as an excuse to finally start investing. And I want to do something with it that's going to beat the inflation that is going to come from just printing off however many trillions of dollars we're at now.
Yeah.
And so that seemed like the right way to do it.
What are bonds? Because I always, like, bonds to me seem like one of those things that only work if, as long as there's a government around to, like, buy them back or some shit. It sound, to me, they sounded like, you know, back in the day, people were like, oh, just buy houses. They'll always go up in value. And then one day they didn't in 2008. Right or wrong?
Yeah. Yeah. I guess you could look at it that way.
Say that again, Andrew.
I mean, if you want to get...
What? Only one person talk at a time. Sorry. Now we choose who talks.
If you want to get all libertarian-y, yeah, you could say, like, well, I don't want to have fiat cash dollars, and I don't want to have U.S. federal government bonds. That's only going to help them. And what happens if, when the system comes crashing down and we're fighting the zombies in the apocalypse and we need food? Yeah, I mean, I guess you could say that. But yeah, the reality is, like, it's probably going to be quite a while until the U.S. federal government, as it currently stands, is not paying back its bonds. And when it does, that's why you have gold. That's why you have the stock market.
Yeah.
Okay. Funds. Yeah. And so I don't know the ins and outs complexity. Basically, it's some level of, like, long-term loan as my basic understanding of it. But all I did, like, all of these assets have, they're called ETFs, exchange traded funds. But basically they're like stocks. So you can buy them like stocks. They're worth a certain amount per unit. You can buy one or more units. And so you can buy like a gold ETF that this, the value of this one share of this is backed by some level of actual physical gold in a vault somewhere. You can do the same with a bond, with a short-term treasury, which is what you use for cash. And so basically you can just invest in a bunch of stocks, which is relatively easy.
Yeah.
To get in as a base level. Ultimately, you do want to have, like, you're the actual owner of the bond, you're the actual owner of the treasury. That's better, but it's more complicated. You actually own the physical gold. And then I set up what's called a Roth IRA, which literally just means you check a box when you sign up for one of these investment websites. And what that does is, a Roth IRA is a, it, when you don't have a 401k from a company, is a retirement account you can put money into that, basically, when you start pulling it out, when you're like 60 years old, it's tax free. So you get taxed on the money that you put in to the Roth IRA. But when you pull money out, which theoretically you should have more money than, you don't have to pay any taxes on it. And the other benefit of the Roth IRA is you're allowed to pull out whatever you put in without penalty. The other version of IRA, you have to take a penalty for pulling it out. So, like, if you put, you can put like $6,000 of a year into this Roth IRA. You do that $6,000. Let's say next year, for some reason, you need $3,000 cash. You can pull $3,000 of that out, no penalties, and use it for what you want. So it's like more complicated, but you can kind of use it a little bit like just a savings account.
Yeah, it sounds like a savings account that actually gets interest.
Yeah. Yeah, technically there's more risk, right? Like if you put money in your whatever Huntington Bank savings account, you get 0.25% per quarter, which is nothing. But also you're not going to show up and find out your $4,000 is $2,000 one day, which technically could happen in an IRA.
Hmm. All right, cool.
So
education done.
I think because we are all scattered for this episode and it's not that easy, and communication is tough, we should wrap things up because Alex and I got lots of stuff to do. We're going to go to the beach. We got boogie boards. We're going to go to a bar and get burritos.
Oh, burritos.
No, I don't know. We're
going to
get food
good
somewhere.
Yeah.
We had burgers last night.
Wow.
Without buns.
Without buns.
Oh, without buns. I was like, wow, you got burgers. Holy shit. Let's all fucking clap.
Buffalo chicken dip.
Yeah. Sounds like you're getting fat. You're going to have to go out and crash in them waves with that boogie board and burn some calories.
Yeah, I hope there's no jellyfish. Oh, you told us Tybee Beach was terrible. It's
Tybee
not
Island
terrible at all. So Tybee Island is an island near Savannah where there's a beach, and that's where I went yesterday.
Yeah, I don't think it's actually an island. It's just like a little jut thing out in the ocean. Peninsula? They call it Tybee Island anyway.
And Puke told me it was terrible, and it was like this muddy beach. So I went there expecting a terrible beach, and it was a fantastic beach. I mean, I don't think any beach is that great, but it was definitely a very good beach. It was perfectly fine. Yeah. The weird thing about it is they had beach snakes. They had rattlesnakes on the beach.
You saw snakes?
No, I didn't see the snakes.
But they warned you.
We were walking across the bridge to the beach, and the person I was with is like, apparently there's rattlesnakes in there. I go, how? It's like a desert. I go, oh, wait, rattlesnakes live in the desert. I forgot about that. And then I didn't believe it. And then there was a sign that said, keep out venomous snakes.
No shit. I don't remember that at all. Also, in like the 4 years that I lived there, now, to be fair, like a year and a half of it, I was deployed overseas. But like, I think I went to the beach twice. And I really don't like beaches. I definitely am a lake and river kind of guy. So my opinion is shit in regards to beaches, right? So I didn't remember it. I remember it being not that great, probably because I only went there a couple times when it was probably crappy weather. Because I went there one time when my mother came to visit, and it was just cold and like kind of rainy and sucked. And also,
oh, that was great.
My mother hates beaches too, so neither of us had a good time, and we left pretty quickly.
What's scarier, the beach where there's fear of jellyfish and sharks, or the lakes and the rivers down here where there's fear of gators?
Oh, I would definitely be afraid of the gators more. I didn't like the gator part because, like, I don't know, gators, can't see them. Whereas jellyfish, I don't think there's that many jellyfish, and I don't think there's like man-o-war or anything, are there?
Bullshit. When jellyfish, there's like a flock of jellyfish that come to town.
Yeah.
And you, like, they're filling the entire ocean.
And that's happening right now?
No, but it was happening apparently a couple days ago up in South Carolina.
Uh-oh. So they're
coming. And I've seen that. When I lived in Florida, I would go out in the boat, and you could just look in the water, and it was like there were more jellyfish than there was non-jellyfish water.
Yeah. You were just, you were boating on fish of the jelly type. They're not real fish. They're not actually fish.
Let's wrap it up, and I will be back in town for the next show, and we will probably be remote with Alex again.
All right. Well, I've discovered that Audible makes an amazing product. I'll just say that. If you want to not listen to the news or get bored and then be tempted to look at the news, subscribe to Audible and start listening to audiobooks. I've started listening to these thrillers by an author called Jack Carr. I think it's Jack. He's a former Navy SEAL, and he started writing these like thriller books, like in the vein of like, what's it, Jack Ryan or some shit, you know? And it's kind of a basic plot, like, you know, revenge thriller sort of shit. But wow, it really occupies your time easy whenever you're bored at work. I've been obsessed. Yeah. It took me like 2 days, and I listened to the first novel. And normally, like, if I had decided to read the novel, it would have taken me weeks of just like, you know, a few chapters before I went to bed. So holy shit, I should have started doing this audiobook shit a lot earlier.
Yeah, and when you listen to audiobooks, you're less likely to become dumber.
Well,
scrolling through Reddit.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, because you can't get bored and scroll through Reddit while you're listening to an audiobook. And also, like, you know, it's been getting so slow at work that I ran out of podcasts. And podcasts right now are terrible because they're using Skype to talk to each other.
Yeah.
So I ran out of podcasts, and, you know, Andrew is always talking about, you know, listen to books on Audible. And I was like, okay, fine. I wanted to read this, you know, this series of books by this author that's a former Navy SEAL. And so I was like, well, let's try this Audible stuff because then I can do it while I'm at work fucking around or, you know, organizing the garage. And it's been great. So we can leave it that. Once you're done here listening to this podcast, then you can go and improve your life by listening to books, you know.
And it sounds like that's a glowing recommendation. And what they should do is go to portmanshow.com/audible to start their 14-day free trial.
We don't have
and
a deal.
Get a free audiobook.
And buy our new audiobook.
Yeah, fuck. We should have sponsors, probably. What did that remind me of? Fuck, I don't remember now. Anyway.
Good work.
Basically, any other podcast.
When you're done.
Basically,
listening.
If there's a podcast that makes money, it probably has Audible as a sponsor.
Yeah. Fuck, I was going to say something. When you're done listening to this podcast. Huh. Anyway. Well, I'm getting dumber by the minute. So, well, you guys have fun out at the beach, and I'm going to have fun organizing a garage. But, but, you know, hey, that's life. So,
what else would you rather be doing?
Probably not much. I did have fun. Like, I enjoyed the task of swapping out the tires on my car because it gives me, you know, a sense of satisfaction because I finally got it done. But it was a pain in the dick because I had to do it in the driveway on gravel. But now my car has summer tires or all seasons. And, you know, I've been way too lazy trying to get that done. And now it's done. So, all right, cool.
I wish I had more pride in work.
Really? You don't feel any pride in your work? Or when you get something accomplished?
I don't know. Like menial tasks, I don't feel good about it. Only mowing the lawn sometimes.
Maybe the only reason that I feel good about it is because I procrastinate for so long before I do the menial task that when I finally get my ass around to doing it, that I'm like, oh yeah, that's much better now.
Well, like, yeah, because it's just a weight lifted off your shoulders.
Yeah, but it really helps. Like today, I didn't go into work. It was a day off anyway, but I've been doing so much overtime. And like when you fuck, man, waking up at 4:30 every morning and have to go to work, and then whenever I finally get home, like I just don't ever have the energy to do anything. Like sometimes I do, but for the most part I don't. But if I can wake up on a day off and just start doing work around the house, like it's so much easier for me to just get going in the morning if I don't have to go somewhere else. I don't know why. It's such a weird
It's the morning person thing versus a night person thing. I cannot wrap my mind around the people who can just like snap into action at 7 p.m. and bang out a few hours of work.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess, you know, for whatever reason, the mentality is that, like, when it's afternoon time, it's like, it's, I think maybe it comes from, like, school. Like, I fucking hated Sunday evenings. Like, Sunday afternoons were just depressing as hell because I knew, and even now, to some extent, they're like that because I knew that, like, work was coming on Monday. And so it was just like, it was like hanging over my head that I couldn't have fun on a Sunday evening because I had to go to work or school. And maybe that's kind of like every day, you know, the evenings are like, I got to have fun now because I'm not going to be able to have fun or get something done in the morning. I don't know.
Yeah, that's the worst when you think, oh, what do I have to do right now? I have to have fun.
Exactly. That'll be the name on that. That's what I'm going to put on my headstone. Ugh, I have to have fun now. So,
well, there's the title for the show, and this is the end.
Oh, I thought I was going to call it like Carvation.
No, I like, I have to have fun.
All right. Well, thank you so much, everybody. Yeah, now. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. We apologize that this is kind of a shitty episode. But hey, look, we made a goddamn episode, so at least you have a little bit of something to listen to. And go to portmanshow.com/VIP to support the show. And portmanshow.com/live whenever we do live shows. Hit subscribe on YouTube, and then you can get little notification-y things. And you'll know when we go live, because normally we don't know we're going live until about an hour before we actually do the show, because it's really hard to plan when you have like three or four people all trying to get together at once to do something that makes them no money and, for the most part, is not fun. Normally it's a lot of fun. But, all right. Thanks for listening, everybody. This has been Poor Man Show. Bye. Say goodbye, you people on Skype. Quit fucking just sitting there staring.
Goodbye.
There we go. There's a good... You have been listening to Poor Man Show. Go to portmanshow.com/VIP to sign up for as little as $5 a month on Patreon to help support our drinking habits. Get a cool t-shirt or shower curtain by going to portmanshow.com/merch. Send us an email to show@portmanshow.com. You can listen to Portman Show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or your favorite podcasting app. Please join us on YouTube at portmanshow.com/live. Hit the notification link to know when we're going live every time. Start a conversation with your favorite Portman Show personalities in our Facebook group by searching for Portman Show and asking to join It's a private place where you can say anything you want and your grandmother will never find out. You can also find us on Twitter, Instagram, or YouTube simply by searching Portman Show. That's spelled P-O-R-T-M-A-N-S-H-E-A-U.